Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we are considering a long series of messages on the subject of scriptural marriage and marriage preparation and scriptural marriage and family. And this series is designed to be of help to you, not because of me, but because we're dealing with scriptural principles that have to do with marriage and the family. There are so many Christians who feel they are in trouble as far as their marriages are concerned. And I do believe in fixing the pieces when they're broken, but I also believe in prevention. And many of you who are not in trouble, many of you who are really seeking to find God's will and you're walking in harmony with each other in a marriage relationship, are finding that you still need some direction. And I'm trusting that these messages will give you some direction in your lives. Now, in the last two messages, we have been thinking of young people who are preparing to get married. And I'm saying this both for the benefit of the young people themselves and of their parents, because I believe we parents have a responsibility to guide our young people in proper directions. So these young people who are preparing to get married need guidance concerning the will of God for their lives. If they are Christians, it is vitally important that they know God's will exactly for their lives and that they not be misdirected so that they find out that they are in trouble with their coming marriages or even with their courtship relationship. Sometimes they get into moral problems. Sometimes after they're married, they get into great times of tension and conflict in their marriages simply because they were not well advised before they ever got married. Now, we considered several things. We considered the scriptural principles. We took a number of scripture passages. And then in the last message, we talked about young people who face great danger because of certain factors in their relationship. I want to talk about some of the dangers again today, and then I want to draw several conclusions concerning courtship between Christian young people. First of all, I want to talk about the idea of the role of each one of them in the coming marriage relationship. People need to decide this before they ever get married. I accept the role that God has given me in the coming marriage relationship. And in the marriage relationship, I will occupy that place joyously, happily, and with all my heart, I will occupy that place. Now, the scriptures are very clear that the husband is to be the leader of the home. In other words, there's to be no conflict between the husband and the wife in this matter of leadership. The husband is the leader of the home. I have suggested, perhaps in other series of messages, the husband is not to be a dictator. This is not a scriptural principle at all. Nevertheless, he is to be the leader of the home. Some women do not like the word submission, but this is a biblical word. We read it, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, that the wife is to submit to the husband, and of course to the husband's role in the home. The husband is also to be a tender, loving husband to his wife, nurturing and cherishing her and caring for her every need, but he is still to be the leader. And the danger that we see here is this, and that is that when they don't accept their role, there's going to be conflict and competition between them in the marriage relationship. In other words, the wife is going to be continually striving to gain some control over her husband, or she's going to seek to rule him in some way. And so this can be a danger if she and he both have not accepted their proper role. Now, there is something that I want to handle very, very carefully, another danger that we face. When people come from different church or religious backgrounds, this can be a great danger in a marriage relationship. Now, for instance, suppose that I come from a Bible-believing church, a church where the gospel is preached, where the Bible is taught. We call this a fundamental Bible-believing church. You may not like the term, but suppose I come from that kind of a background. This means that I have certain definite convictions in my heart concerning what I believe. In other words, I believe that the Lord Jesus is the only means of salvation. He died on the cross for my sins. If I trust Him as my Savior, I will be saved from my sins. It also means that I reject every other means of salvation which some suggest. Some suggest that perhaps good works will help to save us. Other people suggest that perhaps church ceremonies will help to save us, or the church itself will help to save us. Some people might suggest that I can pray to other people. Besides Jesus, I can look to other people and they will help save me. None of these things are acceptable to God. And so, in my own life, as a Christian, suppose I come from the background where I've been clearly taught God's Word, and I'm not willing to compromise. And then I come together with someone from a different background than this, someone whose teachings may be different, even altogether different from mine. This is going to be a conflict and a source of tension in our coming marriage if we decide to go ahead. In other words, this is a danger that young people face. You cannot mix beliefs. You have to stand on the Word of God. And when the Word of God is being violated in any way, when I feel that I'm going to have to compromise what I stand for from the Word of God, then it's going to be a source of conflict in a marriage relationship. So two people like this may simply not be together at all. They may not even belong together. Another problem that's a danger is when people have different ideas about life commitment to each other. Life commitment to each other. Now, we believe in a lifelong marriage. In the marriage ceremony, we say things like this: for better, for worse, in want or in plenty, in sickness or in health, and there may be some other expressions that you may include in the marriage ceremony. But we say things like this. In other words, the idea is, no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances might come, I am absolutely committed to you for life. And this is a promise young people make to each other. Unfortunately, not everyone has a deep conviction concerning this. And we're seeing more and more marriages between so-called professing Christians that are not really lifelong relationships. In other words, when difficulties come, when situations come which cause some kind of tension, when there are major disagreements between them, rather than working these out in spiritual ways before God, they instead permit the marriage to break up, and this marriage is going to be destroyed. Now, another problem is the fact that many young people have different concepts about responsibilities in a marriage relationship. I have tried to emphasize before in a couple of the marriages that introduced this subject of scriptural marriage and family life. I tried to emphasize that marriage is hard work. I don't mean this to take away from the joy of marriage. My wife and I have a very wonderful, joyous relationship with each other. It's a relationship where we've had unity and harmony between us, and I'm deeply thankful to God for this. But my wife and I both accept the fact that marriage is full of responsibilities. There are heavy responsibilities upon the husband and the wife. You study, for instance, again, that very familiar portion of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 31, the work and the labor of the wife in the home. It makes me tired to even read that passage of Scripture, and I'll be referring back to that passage a little bit later. This wife was a joyous, hard-working, dedicated wife. My wife herself had a mother like this. Her mother was a very hard-working woman, a very dedicated woman, dedicated to family and home and to the responsibilities of marriages. And, of course, husbands have responsibilities as well. Husbands cannot neglect their responsibilities before God. And these responsibilities are heavy responsibilities, those of training the children, those of taking care of the needs of the wife, being a responsible person in the home itself as an example, as an influence on the other family members, being the leader of the home, leading family worship. You can think of many, many responsibilities of the husband. And some people simply cannot accept responsibility. In other words, they just are not willing to take them. They're not willing to accept them. They simply think of marriage in romantic terms. Another problem is the idea of sacrifice and change. Sacrifice and change. A marriage relationship involves both sacrifice and changes in the lives of the two who get married. And some people, again, cannot accept this. It's going to cost them something when they get married. I remember how God had to teach me this when I first got married many, many years ago to my first wife. She died in the year 2000. But I remember in these 41 years we had together, God had to teach me about the idea of sacrifice. But he also had to teach me about change. The fact that when I got married, I was a certain kind of a person, and I had to learn that God is continually molding and shaping two people so that they fit more closely together. And this molding and shaping means change in the lives of both of them. When they come together, they may be very independent. And then God is molding and shaping them so that now they think of the other person. They're no longer independent. They are dependent, and they're interdependent with each other. So there's molding and shaping that's going on. And then there's also the problem that people have different ideas and concepts about the level of acceptance of biblical standards for their lives. And when we have a Christian home, for instance, there are standards that have to be set. These standards are very strict from God. They're biblical standards, in other words. When we decide this is what our home stands for, we're not going to compromise these standards. Our children are going to be raised in these ways. They're going to learn that in our home, this is the way God wants us to have a Christian home. And these are the standards God has set. Now, people have different ideas about standards. Some have very strict ideas. Some have Pharisaical ideas. These may be too strict, in other words. I believe in strict standards. I don't believe in being Pharisees, where we simply set up hundreds and hundreds of rules which may not even have a scriptural foundation under them. And so we do set standards. We try to set standards that are biblical, standards that are not in any way Pharisaical, but we do set standards for our homes. And people have to be agreed on this. And then another place that we sometimes have problems is about the role of other family members and other outside influences in their coming marriage. When I have a problem with my wife, for instance, suppose I'm a young man and I have a problem with my wife, I don't discuss this with anybody else at all. I discuss it with my wife. In other words, we have loyalty to each other. We trust each other. A young woman, for instance, is not constantly calling her mother, complaining about her husband. In other words, the outside members of the family, the outside friends, are no longer part of your life in the same way they were before you were married. And so people have problems about the place of other family members. They will always be a mama's girl or a mama's boy, as the case might be. Now, let me just close with a couple of suggestions that I might leave with you concerning this matter of courtship and marriage. First of all, young people are to guard against neglecting spiritual emphasis and spiritual fellowship in the courtship relationship. The way we pattern ourselves before we're married is a pattern we're going to follow after we're married. So if two people are not spiritual in the relationship, they don't have spiritual emphasis, they don't have spiritual fellowship, after they get married, that's the way their marriage is going to be. Their marriage is not going to be a spiritual marriage. It's going to be patterned according to the standards they set before they were married. One other suggestion I want to share, and that is that young people are to guard against permitting emotions and feelings to rule them in their courtship relationship. This causes us to not see clearly some of the factors involved in the coming marriage. And in this courtship relationship, it is true that two people may love each other very dearly, but they're not to permit emotions and feelings to rule over them and to dominate them and to keep them from very clearly following God's will in their lives. Let me just take one other quick one, and then I must close. And that is that young people are also to guard against making promises to each other and to God which they have no intention of fulfilling or which they cannot fulfill. Many times people will make all kinds of promises to each other. In God's Word, we're told, for instance, we're not to make false vows to God Himself, vows which we do not intend to keep. Sometimes in a time of crisis, we may make a promise to God. Oh, if you take me through this promise, I promise you I will do this and that. We never do these things. These things are not real in our lives, and they don't mean anything to us. The same thing is true now in a marriage relationship. When people are courting each other, they're not to make promises which they cannot fulfill or which they have no intention of fulfilling. When we make a promise to God or to someone else, we say these things from our hearts. We say it from our hearts. This is, as God knows my heart, this is exactly what I intend to be and what I intend to do in our coming marriage relationship. I'm thinking now of courtship. This is exactly what I intend to be or what I intend to do. And I promise you, with God's help, I will carry through with this promise. So promises are to be real. And we're not to make false promises to each other merely to gain the other person. Sometimes people will even say, well, I'll be saved if you just marry me. And then they make a false profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. We're to guard against things like this, against a relationship like this, because these things are not trustworthy. So I want to leave this with you, some warnings, and then also a couple of suggestions with you as young people and as parents in advising your young people. May the Lord help you, each one, to be what God wants you to be and to find God's will for your lives, especially in this matter of marriage and family.